Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. I'm Stephanie Sison, here with Jerome Ostentowski from the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute. Today we are happy to welcome our good friend Jeff Piper from CSU Extension Service. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah, it's great to have you, Jeff.
Jerome,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Jerome, I would love for you to give a little bit of update to our listeners about what's going on at Crimpy in the gardens and what you're seeing pop out at this time of year.
Well, it's pretty magical. It's like, I think all the problems in the world would be saved if we just went back to the garden. And that's kind of what I felt this morning, just going around, you know, harvesting some duckweed off the pond and pulling a bit of quackgrass. And I did a tour and fed people grapes and figs and mulberries. And, you know, it's like, that's kind of a stream of consciousness gardening. If you have a paradise, you can just kind of walk through it and admire it and harvest it and see that it's good. And that's kind of what I was doing this morning. And yeah, we just finished our eight-day academy, and that was a great program. And we'll talk a little bit about my trip to the agroforestry conference in Virginia Tech later in the show. But anyway, all is good.
All is good.
And the rain is great.
All is good when you're eating figs and it's raining.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Great. So, Jeff, many of our listeners may or may not know what CSU Extension does and what kind of services you provide in this area. So I'd love for you to start us out by sharing a little bit about maybe your guys' mission or what your big programs are for this season.
Sure. Yeah. So CSU Extension is, basically it's an extension of the university, if you will. So the university is Colorado State University, based in Fort Collins. And the general premise of extension was to kind of take the research and education, or excuse me, the research out of the university and educate the public with that. So I think that the one thing that, if I could boil it down into just a couple of words, I would say outreach and education. And it's a three-way partnership. So we get federal, state, and then local funding to provide that kind of education and outreach to the community. And we do that in several different ways. Right now, it's county fair time. I don't know if either of you have been, but we're, I think, right in the middle of Garfield County's fair. And Eagle County just finished their fair. So one of the things that Extension, one of the bread and butters of Extension, is for the 4-H program. So if you saw the kids with all their animals this weekend, or their cake decorating, or their fashion, that's one thing that the 4-H program helps to coordinate with the county. And that's kind of one of the things that we're most well known for. In Eagle County, we also have a food and consumer science agent, and that is Glenda Wentworth, our county director, and she does a lot of different stuff, but she does food preservation classes, she does baking classes, she does family and consumer science, so family planning, babysitting classes, all sorts of education for families, or extending wellness to the family, kind of stuff like that. So, and then I do horticulture and small acreage work, so that's primarily working on, again, outreach and education. I run the Master Gardener class, the Native Plant Master class. I've run a Colorado Building Farmers class. And these are just ways that we reach out into the community and kind of teach them about growing plants or horticulture in Eagle County specifically.
You've been pretty active with the Young Farmers Group and the Farmers Union, because we've been to several meetings together. And I think that's a really good thing that the Extension is doing, is to reach out to the young farmers, whatever assistance there is, a lot of networking, whatever technology that you can bring from the universities. That's been a really big help.
Right. And it's great. It's fantastic. That farming group is amazing. Trying to keep up with them is a hard thing to do. They are bringing in their own kind of progressive ways and new techniques. And it's really fascinating. I am learning a lot from them as well. But yeah, we are able to connect them with some of the resources we have and talk through practices and Today we were just up at one of the farms working and discussing the possibility of the tool library that you've probably heard about. So,
right. And I know you've been out at Casey's and looking at his land race experiment out there. It's very impressive what all the different seeds he's acclimatizing in trials and different strategies and pulse cropping. I think it's, we need to support those young farmers with their new ideas. All the people up and down the valley that are doing annual and all kinds of agriculture need to be supported.
I agree. And I think that, to be honest, is one of the favorite parts of my job is to go out and, like I said, Jerome, I'm learning from all sorts of people all the time in this position. We can help a lot with the science, but everybody has a different way to do their own production system. And, Casey is very different than the next guy, and the next guy is different than both of them. And it's fantastic to be able to be working in a business relationship with these folks. And a lot of them have become friends, and learning and seeing them succeed is great. And I think that the more people succeed, and now we have a lot of land being offered by the counties for potentially to be used or leased by the county or for the county from the county, which is just, there's a lot of really cool things going on over here, I think, in the Roaring Fork Valley. And it's really exciting to see. And I'm very happy to be part of it.
Some of the farmers, Cooper, will be trying new things. And everything's an experiment in this valley. I mean, I've been here farming for 40 years. And you never know what's going to happen. It's like, you got to try new things. You're also, there's so many risks and vulnerable seasons and stuff like that. So whatever we can try new and come up with new strategies for the new climate change, that'll be the best thing. Also with Stephanie, you should be on the extension's payroll. You're basically one of the ad hoc extension agents in the valley.
Well, I kind of have every once in a while. I really appreciate the work that extension is doing, and Jeff specifically. And I've worked with other extension services in other areas, and it seems like the one that we have here is quite progressive and open to so many different ideas of how agriculture can be approached, and the different styles, like you mentioned, Jeff, that people are bringing forward to the table. And that we, not only do we not need to do this all the same way, but we're not served by that. And there's some really wonderful farms really stepping out of the box and trying methods and practices and crops that are not the norm, which is great to see, and what we need. And it's really beautiful to see a university organization really getting behind that in the way that you guys have. So we definitely appreciate that from this side.
Yeah, well, I think it's really fun to like I said, learn from the people that are experimenting and trying what you're doing. But at the same time, I think we can always kind of focus that back and try to ground that in some different science, whether that science be economics or plant physiology or whatever it might be. I think those are the fun things for me. And I hope as we go forward in this beginning farmers or young farmers evolution, that we can start to bring more of that to the farm, and that I can actually start doing more experimentation on the farm. I think that would be really fun.
And it's been really useful, some of the resources that you guys have with the science and with bringing you into some of the greenhouses that I work with, and some disease or pest problem that I'm not sure what it is, have the resources and knowledge base to kind of sort that out a lot of times, which is extremely helpful.
Yeah. So that's the nice thing for me as well, is that, we have a whole staff, like essentially the university is behind me. So I have a plant pathologist that I can use. I have an entomologist that I can use. I have crop breeders, all these people that work for the university, I have working relationships with. So I am very fortunate to be having this huge team behind me as well, that where if I don't know an answer or I don't have a solution, I'm able to tap into these. And that's the beauty of extension, right? Is that we do have the university backing us, and, we have the support from the community, but then we have the broader community of CSU right behind us as well.
It's a great conduit from the farmers level or the home gardeners level to to get right into the university level science and information through you guys, which I think is extremely valuable.
Yeah, and that's actually one of my, I would say, larger clients is the homeowner. You know, there's a lot of people looking for alternative solutions right now and alternative techniques, and it's really fun to get them into a classroom setting, or, you know, a Twilight series that we do on Thursday nights right now over in Eagle. And we try to make it fun. We try to make it interactive and hands-on, but actually, you know, show them different ways of managing some stuff, or taking a different look at a certain problem they may be trying to address.
And so homeowners in the Carbondale area, for instance, are they able to reach out to Extension and
sure.
have you guys come help them if their apple tree has a disease that they just don't know what's going on, or?
Yeah, definitely. So how this works, as I mentioned, we're supported like by a three-legged stool, and we have federal, state, and county funding. And in Garfield County, which Carbondale is in, we have an agent and a whole office, actually, that's based in Rifle. They have a family consumer science agent, and also a, I would say, agriculture and 4-H agent. And I think they also have a STEM person working now as well. So that is Garfield County. Because of the weird quagmire of the counties over here and the changing lines, I have worked in all three of the counties a little bit, not so much western Garfield County, but Glenwood Springs and Carbondale and Elgebel and Basalt and up into Aspen. I actually was hired on a two-year contract when I first came in to work in up in Pitkin County as well. So we still have some crossover and bleed into everybody's counties. Everybody kind of helps in where they're needed, if you will, in Extension. And I'm sure that Kayla or I would be more than happy to help you out with that.
And so we'll ask for this again at the show, but could you give some kind of contact information in case someone is listening right now and they're way home from work and really excited to maybe get some support for their tree or healthy tree?
Right. So for me, the easiest way that I think to do it is to go to, you can either look up my name and CSU Extension, or Eagle County's webpage has a departments tag. And on that tab, CSU Extension is listed underneath that. So it pops right up and you can see each individual discipline is under that. And you could go to horticulture, or you could go to family consumer science, or you could go to 4-H. And so all you have to do is be able to navigate to the eaglecounty.us page. And then from there, departments, and we're right under there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. So you mentioned a couple programs that you run. The Master Gardener program, for instance, would be a good place to start.
Sure.
I think that's a pretty familiar one for a lot of people, but perhaps not. When and how often do you offer this, and who is it geared towards?
Sure. So the Master Gardener program is a horticulture-based program, and it is 10 weeks in the winter. So everybody gets this confused because they think, why do you have a horticulture program in the winter? Well, we do that so we can kind of get you started with the education, and then you go right into spring and you can apply that straight away. So it's 10 weeks, 6 hours of contact time. So we usually do it Thursdays all day during the winter. Typically we start like the last Thursday in January, and we go to the first or second Thursday in April. The last couple of years, we've actually capped off the class with a tour to Jerome's place, which has been fantastic.
That's happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's always kind of a highlight. We're featuring the permaculture class from Steamboat Springs in a week or so. You know, they come up for a whole program and a partial work day and had, you know, cook in our outdoor kitchen. It's kind of nice to have, you know, big groups coming like that. They can kick the tires on a 20-year-old food forest and then look at all the greenhouses, and then we get a good conversation out of them, and yep. We, you know, it's a backdrop for them really learning something that's, you know, happening right there on the ground and has some longevity. So
So when we get to April, we talk about all different topics, right? We'll do entomology, we'll do pathology, we'll do backyard gardening, we'll do vegetables, we'll do tree planting, we'll do, you know, you can whatever you can basically think up. Stephanie has come and talked for our class several times, which is very exciting because that usually turns into a lab and everybody loves the hands-on because we're inside. Everybody's there because they love working outside, right? But right. we try to incorporate as many labs as possible.
What I was really struck by this last class is just a great diversity. There's a lot of courses that I teach in are very, you know, kind of who you expect to get and maybe just one group of people. And there were young, older, male, female experts, people who've never gardened before. It was just such a diverse group of students. I was really impressed and excited by that.
Yeah. And so as you're saying, you know, there's a lot of different people who are interested in these things. And so some might be first-time homeowners, some might be new to Colorado, some might be looking for a certificate. We do offer a certificate for those who are interested. We also have a volunteer program. So if you're looking to take that knowledge and maybe apply it and use it at maybe the extension garden where we encourage people to mess up and it doesn't matter, you know, we can fix things and there's no wrong way to do anything. If someone sticks a shovel through the irrigation pipe, it doesn't matter. We can fix it, you know, and those are educational opportunities. So you're right. We have had some professionals, landscape professionals, some people that work for the town that have been professionals. And then we have, again, like very novice people. And when you throw them all into the same room, it's fantastic because you start sharing information. And yeah, it's really, really fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy running it a lot.
And just to jump in there real quick, you are listening to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. We are here with Jeff Piper from CSU Extension in Eagle County. So great. And so if folks are wanting, again, they just go through the website you mentioned earlier to find those programs and sign up. Should they want to do that this winter?
Yes. Well, horticulturally, yes. We have a horticulture events calendar, which, again, if there's somebody listening that has an event coming up, like say in a couple of weeks, I've teamed up with the Conservation District, the Mount Soapers Conservation District and Southside Conservation District. And Book Cliff Conservation District, they're all in one, and the NRCS to put on Tour de Farms. And so the horticulture calendar has that on there. And, you know, we're trying to get as many events. I don't have all of them, but if you do have something you'd like to send to me, we can put it on there. And it's also a good way to kind of stay up on what's going on, at least from my perspective.
I don't have plant nerdiness world.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely don't have everything, but.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So tell us about, you said there was a program going on right now called the Twilight Program. Can you share a little bit about that and what maybe your next, what's today, Wednesday? So tomorrow you have tomorrow a course. Night. What's that
yes,
about?
Yes, we do. So the Twilight series is, I stole it actually from, when I was in graduate school, we had a meeting that, you know, as Jerome, you might attest to it, having meetings during the day, especially for farmers is really tough. They don't really have the time and they're so busy. And so we started doing a Twilight series and we found that it was much easier for people to come after typical work hours. And the days is cooling down. It's much nicer. People are more relaxed. And it was just an informational session. We had a grad school. Usually it was a field day. So like we would show off our graduate projects or what we were working on. So I wanted to bring that to Eagle County, and we don't have any sort of like graduate school level projects going on, but we do have a lot of people interested in horticulture. So I try to take some hot topics of the time, and we do them right before the concert in Eagle County. The town of Eagle. So the town of Eagle has the Show Downtown series every Thursday night from 6:30 till whenever they finish playing. I think it's technically 8:30 or something like that, but we do an hour and a half before. So we start at 5:00. It's free to the public. Anybody can come anytime. And we do it for an hour. Usually we try to make it a lab as much as possible. So hands-on in the garden, kind of exploring different topics. Last week we did irrigation repair. So if you had, you know, a home irrigation system that waters your vegetables or waters your yard and it's broken or something happens or you don't even know how it works, we kind of try to tease that apart. and show people, like, this is how you change a head, this is how you set up a drip system, this is some things you might run into that you have problems with. And as you mentioned, tomorrow night is going to be rain barrels. So as you may or may not know, rain barrel litigation was just passed in Colorado.
Thanks, Avery. Yeah.
So now by law, you're able to have two rain barrels up to 110 gallons coming off of your roof. And that can be used for horticultural purposes primarily. So, you know, one of the questions people have on that is like, well, we have these barrels. Now, what do we do with it? How do we incorporate that into the landscape and it, or how to set it up? You know, like, right. I have this giant barrel, but now how do
now I what?
Yeah, get the water off the roof and collect it and then use it. So,
well, Avery teaches that during some of our classes, and he sets up all kinds of water catchments at Crimpian, and some of it's working great, some of it needs a little repair, but yeah, we collect and use the water almost daily from our roofs.
Awesome.
Almost every roof, and some of it, I guess, goes on to the landscape right away, just runs off the garden.
And sure. Stuff.
But, you know, I wanted to, another thing that I think that the extension is doing here that is actually happening across the country is I think that no, the universities and Extension and NRCS are waking up to, I think, the permaculture movement, where there's a lot of young permaculture designers and that are getting asked to speak at conferences. I was just at the Virginia Tech Agroforestry Conference, and Eric Tonesmeyer was the keynote speaker. He was an intern at Crimpy in the 90s, and he's written several books, and then his last book is Carbon Farming Solutions.
Oh, nice.
And then I was there, and there's probably a third of the speakers were from back east and around the country doing permaculture design, teaching permaculture. So it was really great to see how much openness traditional, you know, land-grant college universities are embracing a new technology, a new information, you know, with younger people.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that I can't speak for all professors, but, you know, at least in my situation, being in the community, a lot of what our need goes to is driven by the community. So if there's interest in a certain topic, usually we'll try to address that topic, bring it to the forefront, mm-hmm. and do something with that. And I think that you're right, is that the common community or, you know, a larger population of people are becoming interested in more diverse forms of agriculture or whatever it might be. And yes, you have to address that. So, you know, I think that's...
And everybody learns back and forth.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And which makes it so much more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for coming and working with the young farmers, because I know we just need to get more financing, more support for them individually. I think everyone's doing a great job. You know, Harper and Christian are hammering, growing out annuals, and everybody else is trying. And so is Casey. He's doing some amazing research, and I think a lot of that stuff will, if you could help get that information to other farmers, some of the stuff that he's doing, and it would save a lot of compost making and stuff that they are having to, you know, making compost. He's building compost right in place, like we do in our forest garden. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I echo your excitement and enthusiasm, Jerome. I think that there's a lot of great things going on, especially in the Roaring Fork right now. And I think it's starting to trickle over more, a little bit more and more into the Eagle County or the Eagle Valley area. But yeah, in the Roaring Fork, there's some great young producers that are doing
excellent jobs. There's one
sitting
right across the booth here.
There is one sitting right
there. He has all kinds of things going for her.
And the diversity of what they're trying to do is also fantastic. I think that, you know, if you look at the business models from Aaron's Acres to what they're doing at Roaring Gardens to what they're doing at Two Roots to what they're doing at Wild Mountain Seeds, you know, all these people are doing fantastic stuff. And you have a new, I think, Heather over there at CRMS is in her second year, again doing fantastic work there at CRMS. So there's some really, really cool folks doing some really, really good stuff.
Great. And so we're just wrapping up the show here today. Jeff, I'd love for you to give your contact information one more time for our listeners.
Sure. My name is Jeff Piper. You can reach me at Jeff, J-E-F-F dot P-I-E-P-E-R at EagleCounty.us, or the phone number at the office there is 970-328-8630.
Excellent. And Jerome, do you have any courses coming up? Or
yes,
any?
We'll have a course coming up in August or September, probably anywhere from a 2 to 4 day course. So just give us a call at 927-4158 or go to our website, crmpi.org, and check us out and look at some of the videos. And are we going to have any more grassroots television shows coming up?
Or? Eagle County.
Yeah.
Eco TV. We do have some shows coming up. If you, we talked about Christian and Harper and Two Roots Farm, and we just had an episode that Jeff and I just recorded up at their place. If you want to learn about tomato pruning and see what those guys are up to.
Excellent tutorial on tomato. Right. Yes.
So if you go to Eagle County TV on Vimeo, you can catch that episode. So as we close our July episode of Living Permaculture here today on KDNK, we wanted to leave you with a few words by Khalil Gibran from his poem, The Song of the Flower. I am a kind word uttered and repeated by the voice of nature. I am a star fallen from the blue tent upon the green carpet. I am the daughter of the elements with whom winter conceived, to whom spring gave birth. I was reared in the lap of summer, and I slept in the bed of autumn. Thanks for tuning in to Living Permaculture on Public Radio KDNK. We will see you next month.